Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ozzie Smith ready for the flip, and we're ready to start the season. Here we go. The 40-year-old shortstop, the oldest shortstop in the history of the National League, to start on a ball club and on an opening day. And Ozzie Smith is indeed the Wizard, and this is the Land of Oz, and what a career it has been for old number one.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game.
There goes Harris on a ground ball. Alisea at the second for Webb. The double play. What a double play by Ozzie Smith. Oh, mercy.
Swing and a one-hop shot. Diving play by Ozzie. Long throw, you wouldn't believe it. Unbelievable. You just have to be here to see it. There's 45,000 plus, and they're giving Ozzie a standing ovation.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Good morning, Mark Rohde filling in for Matt Spiegel today, and we are thrilled to have on the show right now St. Louis Cardinals first ballot Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith, a 13-time Gold Glove winner, in the conversation for sure for the greatest shortstop, if not greatest defensive player of all time, and he golfs. He is appearing on behalf of the American Century Championship, a celebrity golf tournament. All the prize money, Ozzie, going for fundraising that will be donated to social justice, COVID-19, and regional Lake Tahoe charities. Ozzie, thanks for joining us. What's going on, man?
Not much, you know, just like everybody else. You know, I think a lot of us that play golf were very fortunate that through this pandemic and everything, we had an outlet there. I feel sorry for people who didn't have an outlet or who don't play golf, you know, having to stay in all the time. But, you know, this has been a tough time for everybody, and hopefully here in the very near future we'll be able to get ourselves a vaccine or something that will allow us to try and get back to some degree of normalcy.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees with that sentiment, and it seems like, Ozzie, that you guys have covered the most important things affecting us all today. You mentioned COVID-19, but also social justice, which is incredibly important. That discussion is so relevant, and it's good to keep that discussion going right now as well. I want to know how the murder of George Floyd affected you, Ozzie, as a black man growing up in America, who I'm sure has seen his fair share of some of the racism that exists in this country. How did that affect you, and what did you think about the reaction to it?
Well, for all of us that are African American, we've had to deal with it at some point in time, and we understand that our conversations with our kids are a lot different than the conversations that my white brothers have to you know, have to make. But unfortunately, that's the situation that we're in. And I think that the reality of being able to see it live on television, you know, we've been saying it for a long time, that, you know, these type of things were going on. But, I think people had a hard time believing it. But when you have a chance to see it as we saw it on television, I think it's what has brought this uprising. And, you know, what's great to see it is not just black people out there protesting. It's all our white brothers and Chinese brothers and everybody, you know, because it's different when you have a chance to see life taken out of somebody right before your eyes. And for a lot of people, I think that was a real reality check.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a great point, man. I mean, I think it is so heartening to see, yeah, that it is not just African-Americans who are out there protesting and displaying anger. It is white people and people from all races as well. And joining us right now on the score is the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith. I'm Mark Grody here on Hit and Run. And before we get to baseball 2020 style, it is amazing to me, Ozzie, how much baseball has changed since you were starring in the 80s. I know you played until the mid-90s, but those Cardinals teams of which you were a part were the best example of that style of play. Like, everybody, and they annoyed me, Ozzie, because I was just a 12-year-old who was a Cubs fan.
Okay.
Everybody
that's
on
okay.
those teams. Yeah, it's just true, man. I've matured since then. But everybody on those teams, man, you guys were all capable of stealing like 20 to 30 bases, except for the one or two required thumpers like Jack Clark or Bob Horner or whomever. And now it's like they're all Jack Clark and Bob Horner. Has baseball changed for the better or for the worse, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think for people that are watching baseball now, that it's what you get used to. You know, this is what they're used to. And for people that grew up in our generation, I think that there was a real fine appreciation for what we brought. Whether you were a Cub fan or Dodger fan or Cardinal fan, it was the entertainment element that I think that we brought, because every day when you went to the ballpark, there was something exciting could happen. You know, one of the most exciting games I was ever a part of was against the Cubs and the Cardinals, where Willie McGee had hit, I think Willie had hit for the cycle. No, it was during that series that he and Vince Coleman, they stole four bases on one play. Vince was on first base. He steals second. He steals second. Willie gets on. Vince takes off a third, overslides it. Willie's trailing him. Vince gets out of the rundown. And so I had the opportunity standing there watching four bases stolen on one play. And it was that type of excitement, I think, that really drew people to the type of baseball that we played. We weren't a home run hitting team. We weren't a power laden team, you know. So Whitey did a good job of putting people in the middle of the lineup, like a Jack Clark or George Hendrick or Andres Galarraga at one time, and Bob Horner, as you mentioned. You know, we only had one or two boppers, and occasionally when Joaquin Andujar pitched, you know, he always talked about there were only two power hitters on the team, him and George Hendrick. You know, so we had to deal with that all the time. But we all understood what our jobs were, and we knew that speed was a constant, and it was the thing that was always going to be able to put pressure on a defense. And when you look at some of the teams that we played in the 80s, and I'm talking about the Mets, the Cubs, who were power-laden teams and had good pitching and stuff, but we knew that as a team that if we kept the game close, we were going to we had a good chance to win, because we caught the ball well and we ran well, and we could always put that pressure on the defense. And we knew that we knew that we were a better defensive ball club than most of those clubs, and that's what enabled us to win so much in the 80s.
What did you think about the Sandberg game, where he comes on
That was amazing. That was amazing. That was a really, really fun game to be a part of. And it was the only time that I saw Bruce Sutter, you know, give up home runs like that. You know, Rhino, I guess, had his number or whatever. And that particular day, that was the one I was mentioning a second ago, Willie McGee had hit for the cycle. And I think they had given Willie McGee the MVP, and then they had to turn around after Rhino tied it in the ninth, I think, and then the Cubs went on to win it, I think, in the 11th or 12th inning and stuff. But that was an exciting game, and it was fun to be a part of.
Ozzie, here's the ultimate trivia question from that, and the Willie McGee thing is great. I had forgotten that he hit for the cycle in that game, but do you remember who had the game-winning hit after of that?
Let me see. It wasn't a big-name guy.
No, it was not.
Who was? I can't think of the name now, but it wasn't. It wasn't one of the big guys. That's for sure.
No, Davey Owen. Davey Owen.
Davey Owen. Okay. I knew it wasn't a big name guy, but that was an exciting game to be a part of. And then talking about the Cubs and Cardinals, that's always been a great rivalry, and it's one of the things that when we changed divisions and stuff, I think it stole one of the great rivalries in baseball and stuff. Not that it's not exciting now, because I think people remember that, but it's nothing like it was back in the 80s.
Yeah, no, it is a classic, and never mind Yankees and Red Sox, man. Cubs and Cardinals all the way. All right, I know we have limited time with you, but I want to get through a few things here. The backflip, when did you start doing the backflip?
I started in 1978, my rookie year. We had to run for 2 miles after we finished working out, and I wasn't big on long-distance running. And I was at the back of the pack. I was teammates with Gene Tennis, Raleigh Fingers, Gaylord Perry, Dave Winfield, and they gave me a hard time about being the young guy, being at the back of the pack. So growing up in South Central Los Angeles, I lived across the street where they built pallets. So there was always plenty of sawdust, and that's where I learned to tumble. And I used to go to the family fun centers on Thursdays where they had trampolines in the ground, and I would flip from one trampoline to the other, and that's how I learned how to tumble. So I had developed this ability to do a round-off backflip. So to show them I wasn't tired, I did my round-off backflip. Gene Tennis, who had girls that were involved in gymnastics, wanted me to show them that I could do it at some point in time, which I wasn't able to do during the season. So the final day of the season, which was Fan Appreciation Day, he and the PR guy thought it would be a good idea for me to do it going out to my position. I reluctantly did it, and people liked it so much that they asked me to do it opening day the following year, and a trademark was born.
That's awesome. And you mentioned Dave Winfield, and for people who forget, you came up in the San Diego Padres organization, the team which drafted you and then eventually traded you to the Cardinals for Gary Templeton, a pretty good player in his own right. But I'm gonna tell you, one of the most
talented players, Matt, that ever donned a pair of spikes, and that was a real challenge, you know, coming in the shadow of a Gary Templeton, who to this day still is the only guy in the National League to get 100 hits from both sides of the plate. And that was one of the things that I had to guard against coming over here and asking myself whether or not I was the player that I thought I was. And coming over, I just made sure that I did the things that I could do with my God-given talent, and it all worked out. You know, I think Gary got a chance to go to the World Series against the Tigers one time, you know, after the trade and stuff. And then, of course, I had a chance to go to the series 3 times. So I think it worked out for everybody.
That's a great way of putting it, for sure. And I hadn't really thought about the pressure that you felt to fill his shoes. But I was also wondering, too, since you grew up for the most part, I know you're born in Alabama, but a lot of your life was as a California kid. You grew up rooting for the Dodgers. You get to play for San Diego. Did it suck at first when you heard you were being traded?
I mean, it did, because, you know, the weather there was great, but I understood that if I was going to have a chance to win, at the time the organization, it was like a revolving door. So I realized that if I was going to have an opportunity to win, I had to go to an organization that had some type of tradition, and certainly the Cardinals were rich in tradition with the likes of Musial, Gibson, Brock, Shane Deans, and the list goes on and stuff. So coming over here, there was a lot of pressure for me to be, as Whitey Herzog put it, the missing piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I wanted to come over here and perform well, but at the same time perform the way that I was capable of performing and not put so much pressure on myself that trying to do the things that a Gary Templeton could do, which he was a true 5-2 player, you know, could hit for power, average, could run like a deer, had a cannon for an arm. And the way it was explained to me one time from one of my teammates is he said that he had a chance to play with both Gary and myself. And he said that the difference was that the completion of the play. He said Gary would get to a lot of balls, but I percentage-wise probably completed more plays. And that was important, too. And I always took a lot of pride on being able to complete the play. I think a lot of guys can get to balls, but being able to make a play after you get to a ball was very important to me.
Yeah, finish the play, man. You could say that in a lot of sports, and you did that for sure. Ozzie Smith joining us, the Hall of Famer. He is appearing on behalf of the American Century Championship, a celebrity golf tournament. All the prize money and other fundraising will be donated to Social Justice, COVID-19, and the regional Lake Tahoe charities. Just a couple more minutes here with Ozzie Smith. I do have to ask you about the 60-game schedule. What do you think of baseball 2020?
I don't know. This is going to be interesting. I think all of this stuff is so new for all of us, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see. I think it's important. It's important for you to get off, and you got to play well. You got to play well for the 60 games. If you don't, you don't have a chance. But, you know, starting out, everybody's the same. And I think it gives some of the lower level teams a real opportunity here to, if they play well, to get out of the gate and stuff. And it's going to present a very interesting end to what's been a crazy year for all of us. So I'm looking forward to it.
What about the rules changes? Guy on second base to start extra innings in each half inning, the DH, maybe players re-entering games. Anything stand out to you as far as the rule changes go?
No, I think that as far as baseball is concerned, you can't get too crazy with changing rules and stuff, you know, because baseball, first of all, has its own pace. There's certain things that you can do to try and speed it up. And I know we've done things to try and speed it up. Some of the things that we've done, I think, have actually slowed the game down a little bit. You know, I think instant replay, when we started, the concept and the idea was good. But now we instant replay every play. There's a certain imperfection with the game. And, you know, that's the human element. Sometimes you're going to get it wrong. The goal is to get it right, but sometimes you get it wrong, and that's just the human element, the part of the game. And I think that when we start talking about putting robots in and taking the human element out, it changes the game completely. So I think we have to be very, very careful as we go forward here and not change the game so much that it's not the game that we grew up being a part of and loving.
Last thing, Ozzie Smith, before I let you go, and I'm channeling young Mark Rohde again, the 11-year-old Cubs fan to me. One of the reasons why, while I appreciated you, I resented you a little bit, is because my guy Sean, you always kept my guy Sean Dunstan. from going to the All-Star game. Did you have a relationship with Sean Dunstan? What did you think of my guy Shawan?
Yeah, I tell you what, Sean was one of those talented guys that had a cannon for an arm, and I felt sorry for Mark Grace a lot of times, especially on balls where he had to charge and throw to first base. He could actually tear the webbing out of your glove. But Sean was one of those players. Actually, came over and played for St. Louis for a little bit too. You know, so
right.
very talented guy. And you know, as I say to all of the guys that played during the time that I played, you picked the wrong time, brother.
You're awesome, man. Right. Ozzie, thank you so much for joining us here today, and good luck with the golfing. I heard you had your second best finish last year, so make it better this year, okay?
Well, I'm trying to climb the ladder there. You know, you have so many great players with Romo and John Smoltz and all of the guys that have won there before. And you know, this tournament, let me say before we go, you know, the tournament has raised over some $5 million. And stuff. So it's nice to be a part of something that raises money, and all the money, as you said, is going to this year going to COVID-19 and social justice issues and the Lake Tahoe charities. And this is one of the best events of the year for me. I always look forward to it, and such a beautiful place and so serene. And it's going to be a little different not having fans there, but you know, we're going to enjoy it anyway. And it's always nice to get together with the guys.
Ozzie, thank you. And that line's going to stick with me. You picked the wrong time, brother. I love it.
All right. You guys take care and be safe.
All right, man. That is Ozzie Smith, the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer. First ballot, which is worthy of mention. 13 gold gloves. A 15-time All-Star, and again, appearing on behalf of the American Century Championship, a celebrity golf tournament. All the prize cash and other fundraising will be donated to Social Justice, COVID-19, and the Regional Lake Tahoe Charities. that was fun. As I told our producer Sean Anderson before he came out, I was a little bit nervous and had some butterflies, just because I think the way it works for those of us in the business, because we, just like you listening, we do what we do, most of us, because of our love for sports, and the age at which you are most influenced or naive to sports, I suppose, where you look, really truly look up to it, is when you're like in that adult, like that, I'd say 9 to 12 or 13, where you take it so seriously and everybody's bigger than life. So every once in a while, when we in this business interview somebody from our childhood, it just feels different. You know, I can go up to Khalil Mack and feel just fine and, you know, whatever. But when it's like, ooh, Ozzie Smith, oh my God, I have mixed emotions about Ozzie Smith. But that was great. And yeah, Sean Dunston picked the wrong time, picked the wrong time to be a shortstop. That was such a great line by Ozzie Smith. You figure he's got to have, I mean, Ozzie, that's a fancy player right there. I love what he said, though, about, like, Ozzie Smith did not have the strongest arm in the world, but he put himself in such great position to make plays and to modify that throw that it was always on. But the fact that he made such a great point. We see so many shortstops who have unbelievable range and can get to the baseball. It is then getting the baseball and making that throw from wherever you are, finishing the play, and Ozzie was able to do that. Look, Sean Dunston was a guy who, as Ozzie mentioned, Sean could go into like shallow left field, make a play, and still throw a strike to Mark Grace and probably ring up his palm when he made the throw. But, you know, he was not as smooth and did not finish quite the same way that Ozzie Smith could. And it is only now, at this point in my life, that I can admit that. All right, this is Hit and Run. I'm Mark Rohde, in for Matt Spiegel. When we return, we are going to hear from the White Sox manager, Ricky Renteria. I'm going to let you listen to it. There were two key things that I took out of about the 8 or 9 minutes that we are going to listen to. I want to see if you felt the same way I did. Two key things. We'll listen to it next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's wonderful to be back. But I think these guys are going to come in and it might actually kind of excite them a little bit, because, you know, not having to go through the snow or the rain or things that of that nature immediately leaving Arizona, it might excite them a little bit. So hopefully it's a positive to be honest. I think it's something that we can use to our advantage.
White Sox manager Ricky Renteria via conference call earlier this week. As we welcome you back into Hit and Run, I'm Mark Rohde in for Matt Spiegel. Thanks again to Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer, for coming on. It was really fun to speak with him, and I could have gone a lot longer with him, but we did have a limited amount of time to speak to Smith. I didn't realize the pressure that he had felt going from San Diego to St. Louis to replace Gary Templeton. But it makes sense. Like, Gary Templeton was not a nobody. He was a good player, probably a little bit ahead of, at that time, offensively, than Ozzie Smith. Smith was a guy who was, like, when he started, he was about as light hitting as you can get. I mean, he was just a little slappy hitter who got better and better and better every year with the bat. But he made his name as a superstar, absolute superstar defender in Major League Baseball. So I hope you enjoyed that. And if you didn't get to hear it, just jump on yourradio.com. Easy to download. It's free. You can go back to 10 o'clock this morning and listen to it at any time. Or go on our website, 670thescore.com. We'll eventually have that up and running on the website via podcast, so you can listen to the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith. All right, let's get into some more White Sox talk, specifically with the skipper of the Chicago White Sox, Ricky Renteria, who was a guest on our Inside the Clubhouse show this past Saturday with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. And they start off, with David Haugh. That's right. What's up, Paul? Haugh was in there as well. And the first topic that we will delve into right now is that of Carlos Rodon.
Well, gosh, I mean, he's been down a little while. I mean, for me, Los is unique in that I think he's capable of starting, relieving. He can do any number of things. I think that the most important thing for all of us, and this is just me thinking long-term for these guys, is to make sure that they're truly healthy and able to perform. And we'll figure out where we need to go. I mean, it is a short season, as everybody knows. But I think a well-thought-out understanding of what we need in a particular moment. I think moments now are going to be probably more important than thinking, you know, 2, 3, or 4 weeks down the road. I think now it's going to be, you know, tomorrow and the next day, you know, what can we actually do here in a particular situation with a particular guy? I think it's going to put us in a place to be, again, creative, try to take advantage of the things that these guys are going to be capable of doing and make sure that we're doing it while they're truly capable of doing it without putting them in harm's way.
So, Ricky, the craziest thing I've heard in a long time is maybe some people at MLB sitting around with nothing to do in the offseason come up with the idea of putting a man at second base to start an inning after teams have fought their butts off for 9 innings and have a tie game to conclude a game. Many people do not agree with my opinion and think that it's an interesting aspect and it'll be entertaining. I find it totally alien to what baseball's all about. What's your opinion on that?
Well, listen, I get, I don't want to be the, you know, I try to stay out of trouble, but I've always thought, what was the purpose? What was the reasoning behind? And if we all think about it, the reasoning behind putting a runner at second base is to try to expedite the conclusion of a ball game. Well, and to minimize, the thought was also because it would potentially minimize the use of pitchers. You know, you can use pitchers in extended form. And so there's a thought that a major league club, you know, with a runner on second base has a greater chance in later innings to try to conclude the game. But what happens, so I start thinking through it and I go, okay, if that's the purpose, the only way you can actually, try to minimize having to be able to use a lot of relief corps, a lot of pitchers and what have you, you have to put a finality to the game. There's an assumption that when you put a runner on second base with nobody out, that there's going to be a finality sooner rather than later. And there's many ways you can do it, tactically speaking, strategically speaking. But what happens if it doesn't? Now you go still 11. You know, the idea of it is 10th inning, 11th inning. Okay, now you go to 12th and 13th, and everybody's going, okay, what's going on here? You know, in the 15th, 16th, and you're still starting with the runner on second base. I get the idea of it. I truly do. And yeah, it could be exciting. May change the way people, you know, the homer may not be the biggest thing you want all of a sudden in the 10th inning. All of a sudden, little ball maybe comes into play a little bit more. But for me, if you really want to minimize the potential usage of your relief corps and putting guys out for a while, play a finite game. If you play 11 innings and it's still tied, you use other forms of a point system to graduate to give an advantage to a particular club in a tie game after 11. That way you're assured that you're not going to use or blow through your bullpen. The assumption is, though, that and it very well play itself out. The assumption is that we're on second base to start an extra inning ball game, that sooner rather than later, and hopefully more sooner than later, you'll be able to finish a ball game and you'll have a winner and a loser, and minimize the use of bullpen. Those are my thoughts. I mean, it's unique. And I get it. Everybody, that's the whole point, I guess. I guess the whole point is if we use it now, we'll determine whether the games do truly end in the 10th and the 11th because we've given a club an opportunity to be able to put themselves in a position to potentially score a run sooner rather than later, and that way, you know, minimize bullpen usage. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, I think next they're going to be telling the hitter to call what field he hits to, and if he doesn't hit it to right or center, he's out. So, you know, dramatic changes in the game. Go ahead, David.
I'm
done
grumpy,
ranting,
Ricky.
I'm done ranting. Yeah.
So, Ricky, as we look at some of these extra inning situations, or we look at moments that you referred to, we look at kind of key spots down in the pennant race. I think, when organizational depth is such a strength of the White Sox, could you envision being a veteran manager as you are, thrusting a guy you just drafted, like Garrett Crochet, into a high-leverage situation? Or maybe it's Andrew Vaughn, who's making his major league debut in the midst of a pennant race. How reluctant would you be? Or is that just one of these realities that you might have to embrace as well? Because those guys might be in a position to help you in those specific moments.
The latter. I think that you never say never. I mean, at some point in time, the thinking about when you mentioned Lucas said you're always developing. The thinking behind using guys in certain situations is to allow them an opportunity. First of all, because you trust their skill. Secondly, the emotion of it is something that players always have to grapple, to be able to control, to be able to slow things down and have a situation in which they give themselves the best chance for success. You know, I think there's a false thinking that there's a guarantee that if you do something with a particular player that, you know, it's going to happen. Now, you think in likelihoods, I guess in percentages or what have you, you got a guy that's had experience for an extended period of time, has probably lived through those types of moments. But then you're going to have guys that have to have that experience as well, and they're thrust into a particular position. You never know. They may come through. The reality is that the skill set is there, and the expectation, and anybody's thinking when you're managing, the expectation is not that somebody's going to fail in the opportunity that they're being granted. The expectation is that they're going to have success. Because truly, if you manage always worried about failure, you shouldn't be managing. The reality is you have to trust the players that you have. And at the end of the day, we're all going to be judged by what we do or don't do, or the decisions we make or don't make. I'm just a baseball guy, and I know the advantages that are given to players and the opportunities that are presented to them that will continue to allow them to grow. And by the way, if they do happen to have success, how much of a buildup is that for them as well? So
right.
Your expectation on players is that they're going to have success, not that they're going to fail. And, you know, and all of us, you know, that have been around it a long time, and a manager uniquely has to make a decision. And when he makes that decision, he'll have to answer for the success or failure. And that's a part of the game as well. I think that every moment is unique. Every player is unique. An understanding of who you have is unique. I think that, again, hopefully, the expectation, you know, I know that people don't like the word hope, but the expectation is that you're giving yourself the best opportunity for a player to do what he's supposed to do when you choose him and put him in a position to hopefully have success.
That is White Sox manager Ricky Renteria right here on The Score with Bruce Levine and David Hall inside the clubhouse this past Saturday. So just a... I guess that would have been yesterday. Oh, my God. I'm Mark Grody. This is Hit and Run. I'm in for Matt Spiegel today. Two things popped off the page in this interview with Ricky Renteria. Number one was the very beginning of the segment that we played, and that's Carlos Rodon, who, quite frankly, I did not think would be back with the White Sox in a Sox uniform this year. And Renteria mentioning him as a bullpen guy. That was kind of a casual reference to that, and that caught my attention for sure. It has been a rough career for Carlos Rodon. Drafted third overall by then GM Kenny Williams, and that was back in 2014. Big league debut in 2015, and then here we go, 2016, Carlos Rodon DL with a wrist sprain. 2017, only 12 starts. 2018, began the season on the 60-day disabled list. It's like this crescendo of bad injuries. 2019, in March, things were starting to look up. He was named the opening day starter. But then by May of 2019, Tommy John surgery. And that is where we are right now. When Carlos Rodon has been a starting pitcher, he's been really good when he's been allowed to go. I like his style. I like his stuff. But he is exactly injury prone. There's nothing freakish about it. He gets injured. And it's too bad. But I do like this in terms of a way to use Carlos Rodon where maybe you get something out of him. I don't expect him to start. I just don't. I mean, right now in that Sox rotation, you know you have Giolito and Keuchel and Dylan Cease and Reynaldo Lopez. Gio Gonzalez is there. I don't know how healthy he's going to stay, but Michael Kopech, who from everybody that I've talked to said that he will be part of the starting rotation from game one of 60 this year. So I don't know that there's room to slide Carlos Rodon in, and why not add him to the bullpen? You know, what a tandem of lefties that would be with Aaron Bummer and Carlos Rodon. Sox have one more year of control over Carlos Rodon, and then, I mean, I would imagine he won't be on the White Sox and that he would be a classic reclamation project as a starter. I think he will still try to be, I mean, he's 27. He's Kyle Schwarber's age. He will be a classic reclamation project starter for a different team down the line, one that has the ability to take a chance on Rodon. And I don't know that that should be the White Sox job to take a chance, to continue to take a chance when they have so many other young pitchers in whom they must probably eventually invest big bucks. And it doesn't make sense at this point to keep Rodon. And it's too bad. It's too bad because everything, all signs point to when he has had chances to start, he's been really good. Seems like a really good guy. Seems like a leader. Seems like he's outspoken to some degree. All good things. But it just may not be a fit for the White Sox going forward. The other part that I found interesting about Ricky Renteria is when Renteria talked about himself and his, you know, expectations for himself and success and failure, because this is the first year now that Ricky Renteria can be under a true microscope, as if he wasn't in his first couple of years with the White Sox, because I know a lot of Sox fans don't like the way he runs ball club all the time. He seems more National League than American League. Including his 1 year on the North side, heading into his fourth year now on the South side, Ricky Renteria's record is 274-373. It's a .423 winning percentage. This is, again, though, the first year with the Sox where there is real expectation to win. There was no expectation for Renteria to win for the Cubs in 2014 when it was Nate Shearholtz and Edwin Jackson, Arizmendi Alcantara, Darwin Barney. I like Darwin Barney. Same with the White Sox. It's not, you're not throwing Matt Davidson out there. Avisail Garcia is securely in Milwaukee these days. Miguel Gonzalez does not have to be a starter for the White Sox. So this roster, there is going to be pressure on Ricky Renteria. It's amazing, though, how measured the GM of the White Sox is, though, Rick Hahn, in that he, at every turn, every opportunity he has gotten, he has rightfully reminded everybody that this is the next step in the rebuild, and he does not necessarily think it is, this is the year where the Sox are supposed to win the World Series. That would probably be next year. Now, if surprises happen and everybody sprouts just the way the Cubs did in 2015 leading into 2016, then great. But while there is definitely pressure on the Sox to not be a 72-win team, even though I know, Sox fans, listen, I know that deep down inside you are expecting big, big things this year from the White Sox. This is still not the year in which they are truly expected to thrive. There's still too much that has to be developed on this team, including Luis Robert, whom we all think is going to be great, but we don't know. We don't know that for sure. We don't know what Dylan Cease is still, and I'm going to talk more about Dylan Cease a little bit later on. We don't know if Ronaldo Lopez is going to get back to that 2018 guy. We have no idea about Michael Kopech. Does he stay healthy? Is he a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball? There is, as much as you think you know about the White Sox, there is a lot that is still unknown about the Chicago White Sox, and there is much good, but not enough for me to look at the White Sox and say, yeah, that's an absolute slam dunk team. I do like with the Sox that there better not be any debate over who the opening day starter is. That'd be Lucas Giolito for sure. Maybe honorable mention to Dallas Keuchel, just because he's Dallas Keuchel and Dallas has been there. But it's got to be Lucas Giolito. I mean, that's symbolic of the White Sox next level, which Giolito clearly got to last year. So it's got to be Giolito doing it. The thing that was most impressive about Giolito last year was, I think his best start was probably one of his best starts was early in the season. I want to say May, when he went into Houston, all nine innings, shut out the Astros, a formidable team, which had ways of knowing what the next pitch is going to be. They had their ways. And then later in the season, you know, he wasn't as good post-All-Star break as he was pre, but then he had one more game where he shut out Minnesota. I think that was in August. So when you see a guy thrive early in the season and then apparently not tired late in the season, that's when I knew, when he threw the shutout against Minnesota, another great offensive team, record amount of home runs. When I saw that, then I'm like, okay, this guy's legit, because that was the only question about Lucas Giolito all of last year. Is this legitimate, or is this just, you know, some sort of spasm of greatness that's going to go away? I think Lucas Giolito is for real. Will he be top 10 Cy Young every year? Probably not, but I do think he's a legit one or two in a starting rotation, and he best be the opening day starter. Opening day starter for the Cubs? Ooh, it's one of two guys, in my opinion, Yu Darvish or Kyle Hendricks. I'd go Kyle Hendricks just because of body of work, and if you want to, you know, give it to a guy who is more deserving, has done more with the Cubs, for the Cubs, I think it's Kyle Hendricks. But maybe symbolically, you go with Yu Darvish just because he's the guy. Like I talked about earlier, Yu Darvish has to be great. I think Kyle Hendricks has to be great too, because we don't know. Maybe John Lester is good to great this year. Who knows? But you can't constantly expect Lester to keep up the pace that he was at prior to last year, when he kind of struggled last year with a 4.5 ERA. Lester's getting older, skills diminish, and you know what Jose Quintana is. He is a number four starter in Major League Baseball. That is, he is where he should be. And does Tyler Chatwood get to where the Cubs wanted him to be when they signed the contract away from the Colorado Rockies, and then he had that crazy yippee year? But there's only two guys who I think have potential to have great years, and those are Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks, and they have to be in order for the Cubs to thrive. So yeah, there there will be good old-fashioned who's the opening day starter for the Cubs, but I don't think that that is going to exist on the White Sox side of the world. Coming up here on Hit and Run, top of the hour, we will talk to Mark Gonzalez. He covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. I'm looking forward to talking to him about designated hitter and David Ross and a potential six-man rotation for the Cubs when they get going in the 60-game blast of a season. At 11:40, we will talk to Bruce Levine, our Score baseball insider, talk about both sides of town and zoom out, too, and get his perspective on the rest of Major League Baseball. I'm Mark Rohde, in for Matt Spiegel. This is Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The pace has picked up dramatically. And I would just say we were very close to a deal. And I mentioned this right around the end of our spring training in Arizona as we were rounding the bend on the last quarter mile on the spring training season. And then they stopped, quite honestly, with the closure of our spring training sites and the possibility that baseball wouldn't return for the season. The pace of our conversations with Comcast did slacken. Those have picked up dramatically, and including as of Friday, new term sheets being exchanged and then conversations happening this week. So I would expect we do reach an agreement with Comcast, in particular as we see the potential for some spring training games, potentially with the White Sox, coming even ahead of the July 23rd or 24th opening day. So pace has picked up, and we're optimistic we'll get something done here soon.
I wish they would not have stopped once baseball stopped. I wish they would have used that time, Xfinity, to continue negotiating with the Cubs. Because I still have no idea what Marquee Network looks like. I am one of those many, many people in the city of Chicago who have Xfinity by Comcast. That is the television, the system from which I work every single day of my life. So I, like many of you, are hoping that that gets done in short order. It really, for the first time, it does truly sound like it's going to happen. It's always possible that they could hit a snag, but I'm going to guess that we're day to day on this at this point. And the fact that Crane Kenny, and that was his voice, the Cubs president of business operations, Crane Kenny, on The Score with Dan Bernstein, was not only saying that he's optimistic about the idea of them getting a deal done with Xfinity by Comcast, but also that he talked about the potential of even having a couple of the spring training games on that are still to come against the White Sox. So it's not just a last second opening day. Here's Marquee Network. You may even get a little taste of it prior to it. And so that comes back into talk and people wondering if that's going to happen. I do get the, because I've heard Crane Kenny on before, and it always sounded like there was a lot of conflict with Cubs and with Xfinity, and this is the first time where it just seemed like the entire time he was speaking on the radio that it sounded optimistic, and it didn't have a caveat sound to it. So we'll stand by, and we will, of course, here at The Score, we will let you know the second that news comes. My guess is that Mitch Rosen probably has some sort of big voice sounder ready to go once that news drops, because that is going to be big news for sure. Talking Cubs with Mark Gonzalez in just a little bit. A few of your text messages at 312-644-6767 is the number from the 864. Finally, he has the talent, and this is just the beginning, or not even that, for a half a year. Didn't understand the rest of that, but I assume that he's talking about Ricky Renteria. Yes, Renteria finally has the talent. There still is some development that needs to be done. This is not a made team yet, but yes, Ricky Renteria has more of the raw materials that he needs to form a credible team on a daily basis with his starters, with his fielders, and a bullpen. And I don't know, I guess I haven't asked this question, but you don't have to necessarily pace your bullpen guys, and you really have to consider those your three most valuable receivers, where you can get them up and running a lot. And that for the Sox would be C-Sheck and Colome and Bummer, and the Cubs side of the world, oh boy, Craig Kimbrell and I love Rowan Wick. Rowan Wick might just be the closer for the Cubs this year. Wick. Jeremy Jeffress, just remembered, he's on the Cubs this year. Old Kyle Ryan still around. So those three guys I mentioned for the Sox are going to be key components to the season. And also, in turn, you're going to have the luxury of maybe allowing your starters to go longer. And these are going to be team decisions. There's going to be a lot of collective strategy that's going to go on with all 30 teams in Major League Baseball for sure. 708, wouldn't this be the perfect season to have home run derby to end a game? Limit pitcher use, limit player exposure, and how much better could you show off than having a home run derby? Well, I'm thinking about it. It would be extremely entertaining. You are right. That is next level progressiveness, though, if you're talking about baseball. I think about the shootout in hockey, even 4-on-4 to a lesser degree. I love the shootout. I think some people say it's a gimmick, it's not hockey. I actually think that when you talk about the shootout in hockey, it's like essence of sport. It's mano a mano. It's man against man. Your best against my best. My best goalie against your best players. Everybody takes turns until there's a winner. So I think it's actually the antithesis of not being sport. I think it is the essence of sport. I don't know that a home run derby is the essence of sport necessarily, though. So what, you're going to have your pitching coach come out there and throw? Is Tommy Hotovy going to be the guy throwing to Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant? Is you're going to bring in Mr. Rizzo or Mr. Bryant, better yet, to come in and throw, and every game will be heartwarming? I like it, though. You guys are thinking progressively for sure about the great game of baseball. All right, coming up next hour, another big hour. Mark Gonzalez and Bruce Levine will be a part of it. You are welcome to be a part of it as well. 312-644-6767. That's where you can call us. That is where you can text us. And you can find me on Twitter. As a matter of fact, during the break, I officially changed my name to @MarkGrodySports. That is my new name. It is also my Twitter handle. Just makes it very easy. I'm bundling, too. I've bundled my name and my Twitter. You can call me @MarkGrodySports. I am in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.